We're starting, this is the second week of our Joshua series, but it's the first week that we've actually kind of landed in the book of Joshua. So we're going to be looking at Joshua 1. And the first chapter of Joshua 1, I'm going to put it out there, is a better motivational speech than anything we've just mentioned. This is God's motivational speech to his appointed leader Joshua as he's about to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And so what's happened so far is that Joshua has been prepared for this moment. He's been prepared by following Moses. He followed Moses around and learnt from him. He'd been prepared by his faithfulness. And so when they arrived at the promised land, they sent people to go check it out. And all of the spies but two came back and said, "Don't go in. The people in there are too big. There are too many of them. This is a bad idea. We should not go in." But Joshua and Caleb were the two people who stood up and said, "Hey, it doesn't matter who's in there. If the Lord is with us, then we should go. And he'll be faithful." So that prepared Joshua. Another way that Joshua was prepared was in battle. Joshua led the armies of God in battle. And he was commissioned. So God actually said to Moses, "You're not going to be the one to take God's people into Israel. It's going to be Joshua." So he had time to get used to the idea. And now his moment has come. The people had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And then God had finally brought them to this moment. Moses was dead. Joshua was standing up. And God came to him to give him these words. And Amy is going to read them for us.
Joshua chapter 1. And it's Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
They're pretty amazing words, aren't they? Go, be strong, be courageous. I'll be with you. Wherever you set your foot, you'll find success. And so you can imagine that Joshua was pretty pumped up in this moment. And so I want to just take a moment together to look at what were the elements of this speech that God gave to Joshua. And the first thing I want to point out from verses 2-4 is that he gave Joshua his purpose. So his purpose in verses 2-4. He says, "Get ready, cross the Jordan. I'll give you every place from the desert to Lebanon, Euphrates to the Mediterranean." So the first thing God does is he makes it clear to... You just go to the general slide, Ethan. The first thing God does is he makes it clear to Joshua what his purpose is. You are going to get the people ready and you are going to lead them. You're going to cross the Jordan and you are going to claim this land. The second thing that God gives to Joshua is a promise. And we see this in verses 5 and 6. And these words are incredible. God says to him, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous." What an amazing promise that is. He's been given his purpose. Now God's giving him a promise. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Thirdly, we see that there is a plan. And this is in verses 7 and 8. And it's an unexpected plan. God says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." And what I find really interesting about that is that we might have expected the plan from God to Joshua to be a map or like a set of directions, like a GPS. Like God was going to say, "Cross the river, and then when you get to Jericho, take a left, and then you will approach another territory, take a right." Like when you think about, hey, you're about to go into this land, which actually... The promised land was 12,000 square meters. Like it's a square kilometers. 12,000 square kilometers. Makes a big difference. So it's a big place. But God doesn't give Joshua directions. He actually instead, remember the promise, "Wherever you set your foot, I'll give you success." Here's the plan though. Obey my law. Meditate on my law. Keep it close to you. Make sure you don't turn to the right or to the left. Those were God's directions. Be obedient to me. And I find that really interesting because I don't know how many times have you found yourself saying to God, like, "I need directions. What's the plan?" Like, we want God to be our GPS. Like, "The next turn will be in 100 meters and you will go..." Like, we want to go to God and be like, "What do I do?" You know, how often have you had a decision? Like, "Should I take this job or that job? Or is this relationship good or not? Should we move here or here?" And it's okay to ask God those questions. And I think God often does answer those questions. But I think we see here God's priority. That, yeah, God cares about what we do, but most of all, God cares that we don't turn to the left or to the right from his word, from his teaching. He's already given us our instructions for life, to love God with all our hearts, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to keep ourselves free from greed and sexual immorality. God's already given us our direction in life. So let's think about these three things: purpose, promise, plan. Because all of them are important. And I experienced this in a negative way when I was playing soccer. I think I was about 23 at the time. And I was playing over in the St. George comp. And I'd spent a year in the reserves. And then I'd worked my way into the first team. So I was playing like all age ones over... in the St. George area. And I was playing with guys who had played in the old NSL, and I was like, oh, I was pretty stoked. I was playing on the right midfield. And then one game, right, One game we got there and the coach, I don't know what had happened, but he'd had some moment of inspiration. And just like half an hour before the game, he got the boys together and he said, right, we're playing a new formation today. So normally we played 4-4-2. That's going to mean something to about five people in here. But normally we played 4-4-2, right? I was on the right midfield. And he said, right, today we're going 5-3-2. So five defenders, three midfielders, two attackers. And that was fine for the two attackers because they were doing the same thing. The three midfielders who stayed in the midfield were doing the same thing. The four defenders who stayed defenders were doing the same thing. I was the only one who actually got moved. So I went from being a right midfielder to a right wing back because I was 23 and fast. So he just expected me just to run the whole time. And so we did our normal thing, right? There was a purpose, right? Go win the game. That was our purpose. Go win the game. There was a promise, right? We all pumped each other up as if you've kind of been part of a team. And some of the guys were a bit weird about it. They were like, there are 3 points buried on this field. And we're playing at home. Like, there are 3 points buried on this field, and we're not going to let them take it from us. That was how they motivated us. It was like, we're doing this together. So there's a lot of promise, a lot of pump up. And then you know, the game's ready and we're all like, yeah, you know, running it. Yeah, like so pumped, right? And then the whistle blows. I had no idea how to play right wing back. So the game started and I'm just like, I didn't know where to be. Being right wing back is kind of like being like a right midfielder, except you're supposed to defend as well. And so I was like, this is exhausting. Whose idea was this? And so you can have a purpose and a promise, but if you don't have a clear plan that you understand, then it breaks down. And I really haven't forgotten that moment, and I'll probably not ever get over it. But because the end of the story was, the next training, the coach pulled me aside and he was like, Andrew, you seem to be really lacking in confidence on the weekend. So we're going to put you back with the reserves to get some more confidence. Yeah, he dropped me. So I was like, all right, coach. And then as I was driving home, I had, you know, when you like, you don't say something in the moment, but then you're driving home and you think about it. So I was driving home. I'm like, you changed the formation half an hour before the game. And I don't know. Anyway, I didn't say any of that. But so you can, you need a plan. You also need a purpose, right? Imagine if we just had 15 guys turn up to a field and we didn't know that we were playing soccer. Like, we didn't know what our purpose was. And we just turned up and we're like, wow, what are we doing here? There's another group of 15 guys. So rugby? This maybe? You know, like, you need to know what's going on. You need to know what the game is. You got to have a purpose. But also promise. Promise is so important. And the promise that God gives to Joshua is the promise of his presence. That's the most important thing. And we see the priority that God gives to that, because in verse 9, God comes back to it. So he's done. Purpose, promise, plan. Verse 9, he's back to the promise. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's interesting because Joshua learned from Moses, but there was an experience that we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, where God says to Moses, my presence will go with you. And so, you know, don't be afraid to go to the place I'm sending you. And Moses replies to God, if your presence does not go with us, then do not send us. That's how important the presence of God was to Moses. That's what Joshua learned from him. And that's what God was now saying. Yes, all three of these things are important, but it's the promise of my presence that matters the most. Now, I'm going to invite Amy back up and We're going to read the rest of this chapter.
Starting at verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, "The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise.' Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'"
So now Joshua has started to lead himself. And this is Joshua's first speech to his people. And we see some of the elements there. So in verse 11, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.'" So in that verse, we see both purpose, get ready, we're going to cross the Jordan, we're going to take this land, and also promise. Joshua reminds them to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So we see those two elements there. And we also see part of this plan. But I need to probably explain what's going on there. And what this was that 2.5 of the 12 tribes of Israel had already been given land. They'd been given it east of the Jordan because there were people who had livestock and they found this patch of land east of the Jordan, and it was really good for having livestock. And so they agreed that the 2.5 tribes would settle there. But part of the agreement was that when it came to going west of the Jordan and claiming all the other territory, that those 2.5 tribes would help the other tribes to do that. And so what Joshua is doing here, which is part of the plan, being obedient to God's word, not turning from the left or right about it, is he is reminding those 2.5 tribes of the promise that they had made. He's saying, you need to be true to your word. You need to fulfill the promise that you have made. And so he goes to them and he says, it's time. I know you've been in your own land for a bit, but it's time for you to come and help the others. And I find that a really interesting aspect of this story and a really interesting aspect of leadership. Because often I think we can think of leadership as, you know, a leader to a follower, right? It's a kind of a direct, like, linear relationship between one person and someone else. But actually, here we see another dimension of leadership. Joshua is going to a group of people whose needs have already been met. And he's saying to them, you need to help those whose needs have not yet been met. It's an interesting image of leadership. It's not just about a leader imparting something to a follower. Part of the leader's role is to recruit the participation of people who have gone before, of people who are more mature, of people whose needs have been met, and recruit them to help in the meeting of the needs of those who haven't yet been. And then when you see the result in verse 16, they're so enthusiastic when they answer Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses, so we'll obey you. Only may the Lord God be with you." And then they get a bit too excited. "Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them, we will put to death." So Joshua's probably like, "All right, appreciate it, guys, but you can dial it back a bit. That's okay." But that's an effective speech, right? He's given them, "Come on, we're doing this. Yeah, and we'll kill anyone who disagrees," right? It's power. That's a powerful oration that Joshua has given them. And then I assume they didn't actually follow through on that. But so let's think about this. Let's think about this. These three elements and how they relate to us today. How is God leading us? And there's a few verses in the book of Matthew that will probably be familiar to many of you. And these are the final words of Jesus to his disciples in Matthew's gospel. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Do you see those elements there? Purpose, right? Go and make disciples. Jesus is giving his disciples their purpose. What are you going to do? Go. Go into all nations and make disciples. What else do we find here? We find the same promise. "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And we also find the same plan, obedience. Not only in this instruction, where they're to make disciples who are obedient to the teaching of Jesus, but we also see in Jesus' other teaching, in John, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And in John 16, it's a similar kind of charge to the one God gives Joshua. "In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart." In other words, be courageous. "In this world you'll have trouble, but be courageous. I have overcome the world." And so we actually, in a way, have heard the same speech that God gave to Joshua is the same one that Jesus gave to his disciples. "Here's your purpose. Go and claim new territory for me." In Jesus' case, make disciples. "Here's my promise. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Here's the plan. Obey my teaching." The same three elements we see. And I know, for me, when I think about, like, what am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? I can often kind of get stuck of just feeling like, "Oh, God, like, I need you to make this clear. You know, I need you to write it on something. I need someone to come and speak to me a really specific, like, God gave me a word that you're supposed to, you know, whatever it is." And those things have happened in my life. And God does speak in those ways. But in a sense, he's already told us what we're supposed to be doing. Go make disciples. Teach them to obey, and I'll be with you. He's given us the three elements that we need to step out and act. So let's think about what this means. What does this mean, firstly, for our leading of others? I think it means if we want to be leaders of others in the spirit in which God leads, in the spirit in which Jesus led, in the spirit in which God's appointed leaders led, then we need to be speaking to people their purpose. What are they living for? What's this about? What are they supposed to be doing? We need to speak to people a promise, hope. That's where I think leadership and management are quite different. Management is often just about purpose and plan, right? This is what you're supposed to be doing. Here's how you do it. Go. Leadership involves promise, involves hope. It involves walking alongside someone, not just being like, hey, go do that. Leadership with promise speaks life to someone. It says, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to walk alongside you. We can do this together. And also, let's think about this in terms of our following of God. We need to remind ourselves that God has given us our purpose. Just as he gave to Joshua, just as Jesus gave to his disciples, God has given us our purpose. Our purpose is to go into the world and claim territory for God. Now, in Joshua's case, it was physical territory. It was land. But in our case, it's spiritual territory. And that's why we see those words of Jesus. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. Be of courage. Be strong and courageous, because I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He won victory over evil and death and sin. And so when Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples, Jesus is saying, go and make my victory on the cross present. Go and bring my victory to that place, to those people, so that they would become disciples, so that they would know who I am and choose to follow me with their lives. So we need to remember our purpose. We also need to remember the promise. And also to remember that the promise is the main thing. Jesus says, never will I leave nor forsake you. Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's an incredible promise. And God's always faithful to his promise. He's never going to send you to do something and not go with you to do it. You're never going to have a conversation with someone where God isn't there. You're never going to be in a situation or experience something where God isn't there with you. That's why we can have courage. Because God's there. He's promised it. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, whatever you're facing, God is there with you. And the plan, maybe God will speak to you something specific. Maybe he'll say, go be a missionary. Maybe he'll say, I want you to start a business and you'll glorify me through that. Maybe he'll say, hey, this is a relationship I want you to be in. This is a place I want you to live. He might speak really specifically to you. But if he doesn't, don't feel like you need to wait around, because he's already given us the plan. The plan is to obey his word. And what does that mean? That we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. That we love our neighbor as ourself. That we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That we free ourselves from sin and the things that can hold us back. And that we pursue holiness and righteousness and purity in God. He's already told us those things. And I do believe the same words that God spoke to Joshua, he speaks to us. Wherever you step foot, I will give you success. Wherever you are, I will be with you there. So as we finish tonight, I just want to give you a moment. And you can talk to the person next to you if you want. What do you understand your purpose to be? What do you understand God's promises to you to be? And what difference does that make? And then what is the plan that God has given you for your life? And how are you going to go live that as we go from here? So take a moment, think about it. If you feel comfortable, talk to the person next to you, and then we'll wrap this time up. As you think about this stuff, in terms of your own sense of purpose and God's promises to you and His plan for you, I also want to encourage you to think about it in terms of the people that God has put in your life to lead. Are you leading them with each of these three things? Whether that's as a parent to your children, whether that's as a friend to your friends, whether that's as a boss to your employees, or whatever context God has you, or you're in a discipleship relationship with someone where you're helping lead them intentionally towards Jesus, are you speaking these three things to them? Because there's so much power that comes when we follow the examples that God gives us of how to lead with His wisdom. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to close our time in worship tonight. God, we thank You that we can look at a story and a situation from thousands of years ago, and through it, we can learn more about You. We can learn more about Your character. We can learn more about Your power, Your goodness, and Your wisdom. God, we thank You that You are faithful to Your promises. We thank You that You do have a purpose and a plan for every person. We thank You, Lord, that when we're following You, we find our greatest joy, our greatest satisfaction. And God, thank You that You also have given us a model that we can follow in our leadership of others. That we would speak purpose to people, reminding them that they've been made by You, for You. That we can speak Your promises to people about Your faithfulness, about Your love and Your grace. And that we can share Your plan with others. Your teaching, Your law, Your words that are for our good. Lord, would You help us to be obedient to You, to not turn from to the right or to the left, but to fix our eyes on You and to follow You wherever You would send us, and to know that You're with us every step. And Lord, we pray that You would give us the privilege of being able to turn around and see others following us. May we be that example. Only through Your power and Your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.